All right, let's touch table on a little bit of football. David, some music, please. Ah, yes. As we do have football tonight, by the way. We do. Nebraska-Cincinnati counts, right?
Yeah.
And at 5:30, for no reason, number 25 Boise State taking on, you guessed it, South Florida.
Why is it at 5:30?
I.e. kickoff right now.
I saw the countdown clock like, okay, let's go.
Here we go. All right.
All right, I got a few questions here. I'm not going to treat this as receipts. I just want to go through and get your idea right now of what you think is going to happen in college football. Let's start with a few regarding some coaches and some teams. Is Notre Dame here to stay?
Yes. Marcus Freeman's a superstar. Been saying that since he was the DC at Cincinnati. Marcus Freeman is a superstar, and you know, he is becoming, forget about the recruiting, which he's excellent at. Rico, you know what I like. I never feature him in coaching malpractice. He's become one of the smartest in-game coaches in America. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and he's Rockstar. only going to get more and more talent. David, they're there until he gets that NFL job, because that's the only thing that's going to happen. Now, I thought for a second maybe Notre Dame wouldn't be patient with him and would fire him prematurely. I think they realize what they have. Yes, Notre Dame back, and he's going to get more and more talent. I got a feeling he's going to win a national title before he leaves.
Florida State went 13-0, quarterback gets hurt, don't make the playoffs, and everything's gone downhill since then. Can they rebound?
They can rebound because you can't be 2-10 again. But ask yourself this question, and it's just what I did going through preparations for the season. How did they get better? They're not recruiting at a Florida State level.
No.
They are choosing to do this portal thing, but the problem is they haven't figured out a way to be successful at it. And of all the quarterbacks you could get back-to-back years, your answer is DJU and Thomas Castellanos?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, okay, great. You've rebounded to 6-6.
Saying that you're going to beat Batman. Yeah.
That was not right.
No, it's not. David, I think they need a coach very similar to a Marcus Freeman, somebody who could bring the passion back to Florida State. Because, look, that's a blue blood program, but they're acting like, I don't know, like a generic Florida school. Like they're right up there with FIU and everybody else.
Hey, shout out Pitbull Stadium.
I'm just saying, but that's how they're acting. Like, you are Florida freaking state. Go act like it.
Yeah, it's almost like you're Michigan State. Act like it.
Hey, Florida State has titles. Famous Jameis.
Ooh, we've got pretzels at our games.
Hey, famous Jameis. And they got pizza at the game now.
David, please, God, say something.
You cannot be happy that they have pizza. That cannot be the happiness
David,
point.
You know
it
what?
Can't be.
Just move on.
David,
move on.
Sometimes you just take the small steps. And smaller steps lead to bigger steps.
Okay, all right, next question. Can Brian...
Bryce Underwood doesn't step. He flies.
Okay.
Can Brian Kelly and James
Franklin... When Bryce Underwood was born, he drove his mother to the hospital.
I heard Bryce Underwood delivered himself.
You ready? We're all set?
Yes.
Can Brian Kelly and James Franklin get over the hump?
No. Next. What do you want me to say, dude? You've picked the two coaches I loathe the most. I'm going
to
say no.
They got you eventually, right?
Here's the thing. And we did a breakdown of Penn State on the five-star zone. If James Franklin cannot do it this year, you should just fire this man at the end of the year, because you brought the band back together. Similar to what you saw Michigan do, similar to what you saw Ohio State do, everybody came back. You got the quarterback, you got the backfield, you have everything minus a tight end. Yes. If you don't do it this year, he's got to be fired in December. Don't even coach the bowl game. Just leave.
How many wins does North Carolina and Bill Belichick get?
Six.
7.5 is the over-under.
I'll say 6.
How many games does he actually stay? I just feel like he's just going to walk in one day. I don't feel like doing this anymore. I'm leaving.
I mean, that's what it feels like. Look, they have TCU Monday night. I think they're 3.5-point dogs. They didn't have time to recruit really well, and they raided the portal, but it was with very paltry results. I got to see it to believe it. I just don't even know what they are. And I'm with you. I can't believe he's actually there.
I don't see the passion. Like, at least, you know, a guy like Deion embraced it. He had his son there. Bill Belichick just looked like a man who was looking for a job and got it because he didn't want to sit around the house and do nothing. So I don't see the passion. I don't see more than 7.5. So I'm going to go under.
So I have some choices here because I know sometimes you might not have it top of mind.
Yeah.
But game of the year options here. I have a November 1st game, Penn State at Ohio State. September 27th, Bama at Georgia. November 15th, Texas at Georgia. And then November 8th, LSU at Bama. Does any of those games scream, this will maybe decide things this year?
I like the Texas at Georgia.
Same.
Yeah, that's the one if I had to pick one. Yeah, well, Penn State at Ohio State just means massacre. Now, if it was at Penn State, they got a chance of winning. Penn State doesn't win at Ohio State, and Ohio State may be like a top five team, which means they really won't win that game.
I like a pair of this weekend's games. Not that anyone's going to be kept out of the playoff, but your margin will be reduced to maybe one.
You will understand who they are.
Utah, UCLA?
Got it. Texas, OSU, and LSU, Clemson. Whoever loses, your margin's down to one, which that's the best we can ask for now because you're allowed to lose a bunch of games. But like, no, the Texas-Georgia one, the venue, that late in the season. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I didn't want to choose this week because you'll probably learn a lot. And then you can go from there with Ohio State. You'll learn about Saiyan. You'll learn about CJ Carr.
You'll learn about Matt Patricia.
Will you? Or do you know enough?
Don't look at me, man. No. He ain't my defensive coordinator.
Right. You know what, David? It's college. I think he'll actually work and kind of fix his image, kind of what Chip Kelly did, and then he'll move on.
Let's get to some teams here. Biggest surprise team you think from this season?
Define surprise, though. They got to be unranked?
They don't have to be unranked. Because we talked about this earlier this week, Mike. LSU. They're, yes, in the top 10, but everyone ahead of them is figured to be better than them.
This is difficult. So to be a true surprise, team that could make the playoff?
Possibly, yes.
All right. I mean,
make noise.
Won't be South Carolina. I talked about Iowa State preseason. Now they've beaten Kansas State. That helps. They got a tricky game this weekend against South Dakota because next week is the Cy-Hawk. But Iowa State kind of broke through last year, got to the Big 12 championship. They weren't ranked to start this season. Does that qualify?
Yeah, sure does.
Rocco Becht.
You know what? I'm going to go to an oldie but a goodie.
What's that?
I am going to go out to the West Coast. I'm going with the Huskies, Washington. DeMond Williams. Oh, no.
I just know you love UW.
No, but Mike, I'm looking at their schedule. They're on the road a lot, but they got a quarterback that could be that sneaky good guy that nobody's paying attention to. And with the schedule they're playing, if they win games, it won't be like Indiana. They'll actually earn a spot in the playoffs. I don't think that the Big Ten is going to be this dominant Big Ten. It's really kind of Penn State, Ohio State, ? And then who?
I got a lot of questions about Ohio State.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I think they're coming in with the best quarterback, running back, and wide receiver returning combo. So that's why I'm saying they could make the playoffs. Now, I know. I wish it was another school other than Washington or Maryland, because you guys are just going to make fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just waiting for you to move on to the next team. You love the school. You gave good reasons. What do you want me to say? DeMond Williams, he's electric. Go ahead.
Then let's close it out with this. I am not going to hold you to it.
Oh, good.
Who wins the national title?
Clemson. Klubnik, FTW.
You really want Dabo telling everybody, I don't care. The right way.
No, I don't care.
I'll take the field.
That's not fair.
Who? Pick a team.
I don't know.
Mustard or ketchup? Relish. Come on. Pick one. Now.
Texas.
There you go. Was it? See, that was fun, wasn't it?
It was.
Now I'm going to hold that one against you because it took so long to answer it.
What? Just fine. Michigan.
That is your college football blitz.
Okay, the three divisions, per usual, the shout out to the Godfather, the Stone Age division. This is a player that is at least, 20 years ago. We have the Rico Beard division, which is a curated prime of Rico's life Spartan, or the New School division, a.k.a. something so Kenny can play. Based on...
It's Big Ten. I'm just glad Can he play?
A new wave player. So Evan Jenkins is joining us today for this as well. Evan, where would you like to start?
I want to do the Stone Age.
You want to go to the Stone Age? Okay, here we go. I am 44 years old.
Is that Stone Age?
I tried to. I'm trying to mix it up.
I'm sorry.
I'm 44.
Hold on. Let me do my math.
Okay. All right. Good. Get your abacus out.
I'm there.
I hail from the Sag Nasty, a Saginaw product.
I'm out.
Whoa! At clue number two?
Well, no. Based on my math and yes.
Okay. All right. Then just hold your water.
I really hope Evan's right now, by the way.
That would be incredible.
Wouldn't that be a record for this game, right?
Yeah. But Kramer.
I started all 4 years at my school. So 4 year player.
About
what? All right. Well, for David and Kenny's sake, I'll continue. I was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year in 2000. David's cursing me behind the glass. I can see it.
I'm cursing them.
Like, you calm it down in there.
I tallied a school record 17 interceptions.
Throws a little wrinkle in mine, but.
Aha!
I said a little wrinkle.
Okay. I beat Charles Rogers in a track meet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just sit tight. I was selected in the third round by the Oakland Raiders. David, you're still confused, huh? No? Do you have a guess?
I'm not ready to say out yet.
Then perhaps this next hint will guide you. I am white.
Big wrinkle.
Schools in two different leagues. Okay, so we're working in the portal era, all right? I only played 1 year at each. I was third team all Big Ten. But I ended my career in the ACC. Kenny's just looking lovingly.
I have an idea, but I want to hear
Evan
more.
Snapping his fingers like a fly girl on In Living Color. You're locked in.
Yes.
Okay.
You have the right race this time.
I think it's...
I haven't given that away. I was drafted in the sixth round by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
All right, chill out over there. You're very pleased with yourself.
I'm glad I didn't go out.
I lit the world on fire after I left the Big Ten with 4,700 passing
yards. I'm out.
Oh, okay. I was blamed for losing at Michigan.
I'm out.
It's a stunning development, Rico Beard. Guestless. Those are the clues.
Oh, that's it. Oh, okay.
Can I give the answer since I was the first one? Kyle McCord.
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
it was once you said Big Ten to ACC, I was able to narrow that one down.
Okay.
I keep forgetting Syracuse. Close.
And boy, did they put all that blame on him.
I was so close to being out for ACC and going with Keon Coleman.
And that's what I was about. And then he said the sixth round selection.
But you see, but this is why this, and again, guys, I am trying to make it so somebody gets to have fun versus height of pandemic. I was doing these and Rico's like, I hate you. This game sucks. I can't get anything.
Backup punter.
I'm having a great time.
I was about to say Keon Coleman.
Evan's a Sparty. Lord knows you are. And David's old. So three out of four have got a shot. I just don't think Kenny's going to be
able to. I love those categories.
Here we go. Now this is Rico division. But towards the end of your run of the
what
prime
is your
of your
run?
Life,
like, what are those years?
I listed as 1990 to 2000.
Okay.
That was kind of
47 at 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1938.
Last time they won a national title.
I am
Bubba Smith.
I'm out.
I am 47 years old.
Oh, geez. Hold on, math.
Okay. Do the math. Take your time.
Okay. I think I'm in that ballpark.
All right. I was 6'3", 260.
Oh, did he shrink?
Well, I don't want to. I'm saying as playing weight and height, the rest. I mean, who knows? The guy might be 340 right now. 6'3", 260.
But alive.
Yes.
Okay. See, I got that out of him.
I hail from New York State, just like Mike, but I played high school football in Saline. Are you ready to guess?
No. But we've eliminated some people.
That's the design. Yeah. All right, here we go. I was a second team All-America in 2001. Second team All-America.
My math on that 47 years was way off.
Evan's got this guy playing in 1983. Are you okay? I was very productive, but never quite as much as I should have been.
You know what? I'm going to keep. I can tap out, but I'm going to keep going.
Okay. Now, this one is. Now, remember, I designed this division for Rico, Kenny, so don't laugh when you go, who the hell would know this? This freakazoid would. I had a horrific fumble at Minnesota that cost us the game and made young Mike very upset.
I'm out.
I'll say I'm out too, and I'm just going to throw crap against the wall and see if it sticks.
All right, I'll do the last three clues for David.
Oh, there was more clues?
Yes.
I thought that was it. That's why I was out.
I finished my career with 15 touchdowns.
Oh, I might not be off.
I caught passes, but I wasn't a wide receiver.
Oh, I'm getting closer.
And I was drafted in the third round by the Jets. Ooh. And the last clue, a Detroit owner of two teams shares my first name.
Yes.
All right. Well, my answer of DeAndre Cobb is out the window.
That is, yeah, the 6'3", 260 may have.
Maybe 5'3".
Yes. Rico Beard, center square.
That would be.
Say it.
Chris Baker.
Yes!
Touchdown maker, Chris
My
Baker.
My guy.
Oh,
he always could have been more productive. He was a monster, and we could have thrown him the ball more. Damn it.
He was a tight end, right?
Yes, yeah. And he was a damn good one. Except that game at Minnesota, I wanted him launched into space. David doesn't have a guess. He quits.
David, what do you have on
People were guessing too early. They guessed Woodley on the first one. Then you said white guy, and they said, oh, crap,
yep.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, and again, if I did Lamar Woodley, it would have been... Ah, I got slapped by John L. Smith.
I was headed to Michigan State and got slapped. I would have gotten that one.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, man. First time he met him, David. First time. Not hello. My name is Coach Smith. Just slapped him in the face.
Yes, David.
Says Stuart Swaggart, or Swaggart, whatever he says.
Schweigert.
Yeah, he said it was a great choice there. He's sag nasty, great, great athlete.
Well, he was a cult hero. He was a top 100 recruit.
I mean, there was only a couple of players, and the caveat was alive, so that took Rodgers out. So at that point, it was only two. And I figured Mike can't be going now I'm like, I know where he's going. He's making it difficult. So
I took
a chance. It was 50-50.
No, you did good. You did good.
There's only been three good players from
Saginaw.
And
then if I tell you there's a white guy from Saginaw who plays football, I ain't been one of them in 25 years. So, pretty much.
Yeah. Speaking of, someone says, I played flag football with him. Besides me, his team was full of white guys, and they killed us up and down the field all day.
He was a damn good football player, man. He was a really good football player. All right. I've got an update on something. I want to read this to you. There is I think it's a shocking report from the Washington Post about Jim Irsay. Have you read this?
No.
I want to read you a couple of these excerpts.
I won't read anything about it.
It's newsworthy for one segment, and then we will get back to business about Brad Holmes, Tigers, and the rest. 97-1. No, we're not getting Micah Parsons, so we're not doing that. It's not happening.
But
No, there's no buts, there's no ifs, there's no ands. It's not happening. Especially after Brad Holmes talked today. We're not doing that today.
What?
No. Now, I want to read this story to you. Just a moment of serious in a fun day that we've had. Because this is a stunner. I don't know if I'm more stunned by what's in the report or the fact that there was actual investigative journalism being done in 2025. This is from the Washington Post, all right? And just bear with me. I'll try to read as little of this as possible. Colts owner Jim Irsay privately grappled with a relapse in his last 2 years before his death. This is according to the Washington Post. Spent the last 2 years of his life in the throes of a relapse, alleging the NFL exec was prescribed ketamine from a private doctor. See, it starts to take on like a Michael Jackson feel. The doctor signed Irsay's death certificate stating the cause was cardiac arrest, per the report, which stated no toxicology testing was administered, nor an autopsy. So what happens in this piece, they're starting to like build a case that there's a cover-up. Those close to Irsay relayed concerns over the treatment he was receiving from California-based addiction specialist. I'm going to butcher this guy's name. I apologize. Harry Haritunian, who was residing at the Beverly Hills Hotel where Irsay passed away this spring. The report states he was prescribed over 200 opioid pills before Irsay overdosed on two separate occasions in December of 23. Once at his Indianapolis home and another at a rental home in Miami. Before the incident in Florida, Irsay, who became Colts owner in 1997, allegedly fired a nurse because she attempted to conceal his pills. She was worried he was ingesting them at a rapid rate. In the weeks following those ordeals, cops suspected in January of 24, Irsay had suffered an overdose. However, both Irsay and the Colts publicly denied that was the case. The team described Irsay's issues as severe respiratory illness. When a Colts executive called 911 that night, they did not mention pills or drug use, just that his heart may be failing. Again, from the Washington Post, ex-Colts employees alleged Chief Operating Officer Pete Ward and General Counsel Dan Emerson helped keep Irsay's relapses undercover, again, according to WAPO. I've always approached my responsibilities with the utmost professionalism and care, Ward told the Washington Post via email. Out of respect for everyone, I don't believe it's appropriate to comment on anyone's private health matters, whether living or deceased. Emerson went on in a phone interview. We handled everything in a professional, ethical, and moral fashion. I wish people would let my friend rest in peace. Irsay's treatments eventually escalated to ketamine injections in the month before his death. That's from people with knowledge of the relapses. I dedicated 18 months of my life to care for him as a brother. This is from Haritunian in a phone interview, but he did not respond to emails that detailed our reporting. We did everything we could to make him as comfortable as possible. Upon announcing his death in May, the franchise stated he died peacefully in his sleep. And then it just goes on, talks about his daughters, etc. It's an awful story, but that is a level of detail in the reporting, and there are red flags everywhere in it. Mm-hmm. Here's my one thing. This is where I think I've changed. Like when I was 25 or 30, I was far more curious about, well, how did it happen? Now I'm 44, and maybe it's because my parents are getting old, or I know I'm getting older. I kind of just take the approach of, I don't care, the dude's dead. Like, do I really need to know how that went down? Everyone knows he battled substance abuse.
Right.
Everyone knows it was a lifelong thing. That's an illness. Am I wrong in that? Look, I appreciate the reporting, but it's nothing I needed. David, you're putting your hand over your face. Did I say something wrong?
It's because I had the same conversation with Doug earlier because the story came out and he came out during the break and I told him the details and both of us looked at each other and said, I wish this didn't come out. Like it I Here's just why wish the family would have dealt with it. That's it.
Here's why you needed to come out.
If not, there was a cover up.
If exactly.
Okay.
So that you don't have doctors abusing, you know, the prescription pad and writing like the Michael Jackson doctor. Like he should have just said no and known better. But instead, I like the free ticket. I'm allegedly, you know, but you get the perks of hanging out with a celebrity. So you'll just basically become their pusher. And that's what he did. And that's wrong. So, yeah, if you can expose something like that, that's then.
No, no, Matthew Perry type thing, Michael Jackson type thing.
No, I can stand down on that, and I think you can be right. But it's also like I'm with David, where I go, okay,
it's sad.
Jeez,
it's sad when you hear Well, you know, when people leave and it's like, wow, I would hate to go out like that. Yes. But
the thing is, and this will support your point, the NFL is run like a mafia. So the idea that something could get covered up, while it seems far-fetched, it actually isn't when you know what the NFL's capable of.
Right.
So to your point, I can absolutely accept what you're saying. Just understand, like, the evolution of, like, where I'm at. I start going, damn, do his three daughters really need to relive that? Mm-hmm. But you're right.
Because there was, I don't know how to say this, but.
Carefully. How about that?
It was already in the back of my mind, knowing he struggled with this his entire life.
And he died at 65.
I didn't need the story because I knew he was at the owner's meeting the morning before. I didn't need the story to tell me what I knew already.
Or what you suspected.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. But I wanted to pass it along. It's a major news story, and I just was like, the details in the reporting.
Right, but here's the thing. It wouldn't have been a big story if you just came out and said, kind of, look, he died of whatever. You didn't have to say he overdosed.
Yeah, but
you didn't have to play people for stupid.
But I guess either. You could tell the truth, because ultimately,
somebody's going to find out.
No, he's a human being. And we are imperfect creatures.
Yeah.
And you just say it. Like, it sucks, and you just say it. Does it matter to me how he died? No. But you're right, is that if you weren't honest about it, or if there is a cover-up, you're right in that the press, who doesn't investigate much, Michigan, then you're right, at least they did something.
Yeah.
Sorry, that slipped out. Had an almond. David, do you have any ticket texts?
Yeah, Domino Truck says he believed the report was already public knowledge. Pretty sure I read most of that immediately after he passed. No, not a lot of this didn't read. So
you could read he was at the owner's meeting, but WAPO just released this piece today, and it's getting picked up by every newspaper in America. Mm-hmm. Next.
Yeah, someone says, I agree with Rico. If it's a cover-up, we do need to know. Other than that, we don't.
And it's not even, it's not the cover-up. It's to stop doctors from not doing their job and basically becoming drug pushers. And just instead of saying, no, you have a serious problem and I'm checking you into rehab, well, okay, you're injecting people with ketamine? Like, come on.